Well, good morning. It's certainly good to be here. It's good to be worshiping our God together today, as we do every first day of the week. If you'd like to take out a Bible, or if you'd like to keep your Bible open to John chapter 1, I appreciate Barrett reading those verses for us. That's where we're going to begin our lesson this morning. The Bible is full of fantastic characters to study. And from time to time, we'll come prepared, Kyle or I, and we'll come prepared to study a character. Look at a character found in the Bible and talk about ways that we can emulate the good things in his life, maybe avoid some of the bad things in his life. But the Bible is just full of these rich characters. Some characters probably immediately come to your mind. Men like Abraham or Moses, or Peter or Paul. Maybe even you think about some of the kings like David or Solomon. Just those characters who have lived such full lives and have so much for us to glean from them. Unfortunately, there are some characters in the Bible that get overshadowed. Even if a character is rarely mentioned in the Bible, however, there is still much that we can learn from them. There is much that we can learn from what is said. And one character that I can't help but have a special connection with in God's word is the Apostle Andrew. And I can't help but think that Andrew just got the bum end of the deal because his brother is Peter. And Peter is one of those characters that we often go to and study. And yet the Apostle Andrew is one who from time to time gets overshadowed and seems to just kind of fall between the cracks. Who is Andrew, though? If we look in Matthew's gospel, and we'll read these verses a little bit later, but Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, we find that Andrew was just a simple fisherman. He was a fisherman along with his brother, Peter. In John chapter 1, I hope you'll read again with me, verses 35 through 40. Listen to what we hear, what we learn about Andrew in this text, beginning in chapter 35, verse 35 of chapter 1. It says, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, that's John the Baptist being referenced there. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speaking and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is being translated, which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So we find this situation where John the Baptist is teaching, and John the Baptist has these disciples that are following him and are listening to him as he proclaims the coming Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God," he says. And one of these disciples, as he points out later in verse 40, is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And after John points to Jesus and says, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who you should follow," Andrew and this other disciple follow. See, they were disciples of John the Baptist, but they quickly became followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Andrew was a disciple of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, we won't go over there and read that text either. But I believe there we find the listing of the apostles. And who is listed there but Andrew? He is listed among the 12 special men who Jesus selected for himself to be messengers to the world of the gospel of Christ. Andrew is by no means the most prominent of the apostles. He's not the one that's always in the limelight, always getting the attention. And as I mentioned earlier, he seems to kind of live in the shadows of his brother Peter. But what's interesting about Andrew is that there are only three occasions where he is mentioned by name. Outside of the list of the apostles, there are only three stories in which Andrew plays a particular role, in which he is mentioned by name and therefore plays a prominent role in the story. And on these three occasions, Andrew is found introducing someone to Jesus. And I think there's something that needs to be said about that. Because oftentimes all it takes is a simple introduction All we need to do is go up and introduce someone to Jesus in order to lead someone to Christ. It's these three instances that I'd like to examine with you this morning. The first of these instances is here in John chapter 1, when Jesus, or rather when Andrew introduces his brother Peter to Jesus. Pick up where we left off there in John chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas.'" Andrew introduced his brother to Jesus. He heard John talk about Jesus. He had followed John. And then you remember, as we just noted, that he went on to follow Jesus. He went on to talk to Jesus for himself. John said, "This is the Lamb of God." Andrew and the other disciple that's mentioned earlier in our text went and said, "We're going to go talk to this man. We're going to follow him. We're going to see if he really is the Messiah." And of course, he came to one conclusion. This is the Messiah. This is the one who the prophets spoke about. This is the one who was foretold. And the first person Andrew went to go talk to was his brother Peter. He went to him and he said, "I know that this is the Messiah. I know that you need to know him." He told him, "We have found the Messiah." And I think it's interesting. Did you notice in the text? Andrew didn't just go and say, "Oh, Peter, by the way, I ran into this guy and his name's Jesus and I think he might be the Messiah." That's not what Andrew did. He brought Peter to Jesus. He said, "Here's the Messiah. I will show you the Messiah." What did Peter do as a result of this introduction? What was the result of Andrew making this simple introduction, Peter to Jesus? Look over in Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4, read with me verses 18 through 20. It says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Because Andrew introduced Peter to the Lord, because he went to him and said, "Here's the Messiah. I will show you who he is," Peter became a disciple. And later he became an apostle along with Andrew of Jesus Christ. He was one of the messengers who Jesus would send into the world to proclaim his gospel. And not just that, Peter didn't just become a disciple and an apostle, but he became a member of what we sometimes refer to as Jesus' inner circle. Those apostles who were closest to Christ, who Christ took with him in very special occasions. Look over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, "6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light." This was a significant event in the life of our Lord. The transfiguration, when he revealed himself in all his majesty and glory to his disciples and apostles. And there were only three men that he took with him, and one of them was Simon Peter. What would have happened if Andrew had not introduced his brother to our Lord? Look over in Matthew chapter 26, though. Another occasion in which Peter was a special apostle who Jesus took with him in a special significant circumstance. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John again, "and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.'" You recall, as Jesus was nearing his death, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to God, in agony and in anguish, he took three men, one of which was Peter. Peter not only became a disciple and an apostle, but he became a part of the inner circle of Jesus, those apostles who were closest to him. But beyond that, even he helped lead the early church. Peter became a very prominent leader in the early church. Look back at Matthew chapter 16 with me. You'll remember that Peter was often the first disciple to speak up. And a lot of times we may kind of think ill of him for that. He tended to put his foot in his mouth, it seems, at times. But look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. It says, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking to his apostles. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, it is Simon Peter who speaks up on behalf of the disciples and the apostles. It is Simon Peter who plays that role in that situation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, we see that all the disciples, when they had the Holy Spirit come upon them, all of the apostles were teaching the multitudes that were surrounded. But in Acts chapter 2, whose sermon is it that is recorded for us? Whose sermon is it that we read of in Acts chapter 2? It's Peter who spoke the words that we read in Acts chapter 2. He became that leader, one who would do great work in the early church. Look over in Acts chapter 5. Not only did he become a leader in the sense that he spoke up often and he would defend the faith, but we find in Acts chapter 5 that he was a preacher and a teacher and one who vigorously spoke the words of God, regardless of what men would do. Look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 27 through 29. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. There again, Peter is a preacher. He is a teacher. In fact, if you look in the book of Acts, a lot of times we associate the book of Acts with Paul's journeys at the end of the book where he is teaching in the different regions. But the first half of the book is about Peter. It's how Peter teaches and how Peter spreads the word. Not only that, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Peter describes his work as an elder. There again, he's found leading the church. He is one who is really instrumental in beginning the work of Christ's church. What if Andrew had never introduced Peter to Jesus? What if the story in John 1 was rewritten and Andrew followed Jesus and after a while he said, yeah, you know, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I'm not going to tell anyone about you. What if Andrew never introduced his brother to Jesus? Would he have become the well-known apostle, the teacher that we look to and the author of these books in the Bible? Would he have done such great work in the early church had Andrew not introduced him to Jesus? Or maybe he would have just died of old age, fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Who knows? But Andrew introduced his brother to Jesus because it was something that he could do. In addition to that, we find another occasion in John chapter 6 where Andrew introduces a young boy to Jesus. Turn with me back to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'd like to read the first 9 verses with you. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? Jesus and his disciples, as they were on so many different occasions, were being followed by a great multitude of people. And it points out in the beginning of this text that they were following primarily because they had seen Jesus do miracles. And quite frankly, if I saw someone working the miracles that Jesus was doing, I'd probably be following them too. They were following because of the great signs that they had seen Jesus doing. And with the Passover coming and the people needing to eat, Jesus asked another one of his apostles, Philip. He said, "Where are we going to find bread? Where are we going to find bread for all of these people to eat?" And I love verse 6 because he says he was testing Philip because Jesus knew good and well what he was about to do. He knew that he was going to show his power on this occasion. He knew that he could provide for them no matter what they had. But at any rate, Philip decided, we can't provide food for all these people. We don't have enough money to feed all these people. Maybe we can give them all a little something, but it's not going to fill them. It's not going to satisfy them. So Andrew comes. And he says, there's a boy, there's a lad. He's got 5 loaves of bread and he's got 2 fishes. Maybe we can do something with that. Well, what's the result? What happened as a result of Andrew bringing this boy to Jesus? What happened as a result of this introduction? Well, if you look down where we left off in verse 10, we see that Jesus did something extraordinary with what he was given. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise, also of the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus took this introduction. Jesus took this boy that Andrew introduced to him, and he sat down and he sat the people down and he made sure that the entire multitude had food to eat. And not just food, but as much food as they wanted, as much food as they needed. Jesus did something extraordinary. Continue reading in verse 12. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. They ate, they were filled, and they had leftovers from the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. Jesus performed an extraordinary miracle, an extraordinary feat that displayed the power of God. 12 baskets were filled with food after everyone was fed, after everyone was filled. And in the last verse there, in verse 14, "Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" The people recognized who Jesus was. They saw Jesus in a new light after seeing the miracle that he performed. As a result of Andrew introducing this boy to Jesus, they saw the power of God and they knew that Jesus was from God. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, John makes a statement saying that "I have written these things that you may believe." That you may believe who Jesus is. Certainly these people came to a better understanding of who Jesus was because of a simple introduction. So again, I'm going to ask the question, what if Andrew never introduced this boy to Jesus? What if he never said, "Oh, there's a kid here, he's got a little bit of food. What can we do with that?" What if this story never took place as it did in Scripture? Would the multitudes have been fed? I suspect probably so. Jesus said, the Scriptures indicate to us that Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what he intended to do on that occasion. Would the mighty power of God have been seen in the same way as it's recorded for us here? Or would the people have maybe lost interest in Jesus? Would they have decided, you know, "We're hungry, we need to go find something to eat. We can't follow this guy forever." Because Andrew introduced the boy to Jesus, it allowed for a multitude to be fed and the power of God to be seen. One more occasion in John chapter 12. We find an occasion where Andrew introduced a group of Greeks, a group of Grecian men to our Lord. John chapter 12, read with me verses 20 down through 23. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These men came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." A group of Greeks came to the disciple Philip, and they said, "We want to see Jesus. We want to know who this Jesus is. We've heard a lot about him. Certainly the stories had spread throughout all the countries and everything about this man in Jerusalem or in Israel who can perform these great signs. He's feeding 5,000 people at once with just a little bit of food." Word travels, and they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to know who he was. Well, Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went to Jesus with these men. Now, what resulted from this short story, this short encounter where Andrew introduces these men to Jesus? Well, I think there are two things. First, it allowed for these men to see Jesus. It allowed for them to do the very thing that they were desiring. Look back a few chapters to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, "So they were saying to him, 'Where is your father?' Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also.'" Now, why do I read that text here? Well, by giving these men an opportunity to see Jesus, by giving these men an opportunity to know Jesus, they were giving these men an opportunity to know God the Father. They were giving these men an opportunity, really, ultimately, an opportunity to receive salvation from God by introducing them to Jesus. But the second thing it allowed for is that it allowed for Jesus to be glorified. Look over in John chapter 7. Up until this point, Jesus had been telling his disciples on multiple occasions. He had been saying, "My time is not yet for people to know who I am, what I'm here for. It's not time yet." Look in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Therefore his brothers said to him, 'Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For not even his brothers were believing in him." So Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. For the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." See, Jesus had to remind his disciples on multiple occasions that he knew when his time would be. And it wasn't yet. It wasn't time for Jesus to reveal himself fully to people, to know his mission and what he was coming to do. But go back to John chapter 12. Did you notice what Jesus said after Andrew and Philip brought these Greeks to him? He said in verse 23, after they brought these men to him, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." It is now time. You see, because Andrew and Philip brought these men to Jesus, it allowed for Jesus' time to be fulfilled, for his time to be glorified. Now is the time. And from this time forward, reading through the gospel, from this time forward, Jesus was known publicly as the Son of God until he was ultimately glorified in his death. All because Andrew and Philip introduced these men to Jesus. What if Andrew never introduced them to Jesus? What if it never came about that Andrew and Philip brought these men who had a desire to know God, who had a desire to know Jesus? What if they never brought them to him? Would these men have ever seen Jesus? Would they have ever come to know who he was? Would Jesus have been glorified at this time as he was? again, perhaps. Certainly it was in the plan for Jesus to be glorified, and that would have happened according to God's will. Or would these men, had they not been introduced to Jesus, would they have walked away, never to consider this miracle worker, never to consider this man ever again? What if Andrew and Philip had not introduced these Greeks to Jesus? Andrew isn't the most memorable of the apostles. He's not the most prominent. He doesn't always play the big role. But I think when we look at the stories that he is involved in, he did what he could do with what he knew. He introduced Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And as we noted, Peter went on to accomplish much, many great things in the early church. Andrew introduced a small boy to Jesus. And as a result, the boy allowed Jesus to show his miraculous abilities, feeding even 5,000 people with just a small portion of food. And finally, Andrew introduced, along with Philip, these Greeks to Jesus. And it allowed these men to see Jesus. It allowed them to know Jesus. Well, I don't think I have to go into great detail talking about how to apply this lesson, because I have a feeling that you probably get the point. You get what I'm getting at. We need to introduce people to Jesus. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard. But still, some of us, and myself included, make excuses. Perhaps you'll say, or perhaps we'll say, God's will is going to happen regardless of what I do. It doesn't matter what I try to accomplish. God's will is going to take place. And you're absolutely right. God's will is going to take place regardless of the role we play in it. Look over in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. You may recall the story of Esther. Esther was put in a position of authority. As a Jewish woman, she became really the queen over in captivity. She was put in this position of authority, and Mordecai knew that salvation was going to come to the Jews. It could come from somewhere else. Note what he says in Esther chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. It says, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Mordecai knew that the salvation of the Jewish people would arise from somewhere. He knew that even if Esther did nothing at this point to save her people, if Esther did nothing to solve the problems that were going on, salvation would come from somewhere else. God's will would be accomplished. But Mordecai acknowledges that it may be that God put Esther there for that purpose. God may have given Esther that opportunity to act and that opportunity to make a difference. Does this have application to our lives today? Well, we're given opportunities to introduce people to Jesus every day. We all run across hundreds of people throughout a week, maybe more than that. I wish I could have gotten some statistics on that, how many people we interact with in a week. I don't even know if there's a study like that done. But we interact with enormous amounts of people throughout a day, throughout a week. We're given opportunities to introduce people to Christ. Now, if we don't take action, if we don't take the initiative to introduce someone to Christ, God may provide another source for them to find Christ. God may find another source to introduce them to Christ. But it may be that you've been given an opportunity. It may be that God has set before you an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life, to introduce someone to the gospel of Christ and to save a soul. So sometimes wonder why I can't be more like Andrew. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. This will be our last text this morning. Romans chapter 10. Andrew simply did what he could with what he knew. And there's only one way that we can lead people to Christ. There's only one way that we can introduce people to Christ. Look at verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. We must take the time to tell people about who Jesus is, about what he's done for us, and how he can change lives even today. Andrew did what he could do with the things that he knew. He introduced people to Jesus. He didn't have, a lot of theological arguments to throw at people and prove that God exists and prove how things work in the Christian faith. He didn't have to argue like that. He simply brought people to Christ. And that was enough. That was enough for Andrew to offer these people life. And I think we can at least do that. Have you been introduced to Jesus today? Have you been introduced to Jesus? Maybe it's that you've lived your life and maybe this is your first exposure to Jesus. I don't know who's all in this audience. I know many of us here have known Jesus. Many people here have known Jesus a lot longer than I have. But Jesus has done an extraordinary thing on our behalf. He has come to this earth. Paul says that he emptied himself coming to this earth. Jesus came to earth as a man, lived a perfect life, and died as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can be pure and holy in the sight of God. And if you want to tap into that, if you want to take part in that sacrifice, all he requires is that you obey him. All he asks is that you do the will of his Father who is in heaven. If you would like to know Jesus, we'd love the opportunity to introduce you to him. If you'd like to talk further about what he can offer and the salvation that he brings, we'd love for that opportunity as well. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, we ask that you come and make that known as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.